Welcome to another edition of ILTA's popular Ask the Expert podcast series. I'm Christy Cole with ILTA, and joining me today is Brian Clayton, the Chief Information Officer at Taft, Detinius, and Hollister, LLP. We're delighted to have you with us, Brian.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
No one can deny that security in the legal profession is of the utmost importance. It is a universal concern that affects attorneys, staff, and clients, especially with the increase in malicious attacks to gain access to the valuable data stored within the enterprise. What risks are firms and legal departments facing, and how do you make sure your organization doesn't fall prey to today's threats? Brian, these are the areas in which we'd like to get your input. What security issues are universal across the legal profession?
It has always been our duty to protect client confidences. This hasn't changed, just evolved. Security is always a tough sale with everyone because it is in direct conflict with ease of use and simplicity. Social media is a concern. Dropbox-like technologies are a concern. All these risks for any attorney, no matter what size or location of your firm. Open collaboration, something many in IT over the past several years have looked into, has opened far more vulnerabilities than we were able to control without a change to our approach. The simple problems with the risk of ensuring you don't leave a backup tape in the car are long gone. Cleaning viruses off, media disks are all under control. Today's challenge is how do you catch up to the consumerization of technology, control its use and vulnerabilities, but yet still keep up with our clients who don't have those controls placed on them.
What additional security challenges do international firms face?
Taft doesn't have an international office location, but similar to international law, security is made more difficult because of the various regulations and specifics of countries and regions. There are prohibitions against exporting and importing technologies, requirements to register security technologies in locations like China. Bottom line, more countries and regions mean more complexity and cost of compliance.
Great. And should law firms periodically conduct risk assessments? And if so, how often should those be done?
My belief is you don't ever stop. There's only one thing I know of that changes more than technology, and that's securing it. I've had a mentor several years ago tell me you're only as secure as the last time you locked the door. I don't believe that risk assessments have to occur more than once or twice a year, but I firmly believe that you should have systems and processes in place consistently monitoring and managing the environment. You have to live it. I'm not saying we are living it completely yet, but are building the environment. We depend on users to follow policies and processes and IT systems in place. We just need to monitor trends and lock down where appropriate.
Now, you mentioned users just then. What security risks come from lawyer and staff behavior, and what's the best way to educate them about these issues?
The risks arise from not understanding the increasing risk of exposure. It is a battle between only placing constraints on firm resources, not on their personal resource, like in your iPads and smart devices, and then getting attorneys to believe that the risk is not just with larger firms or other companies. It's my job to secure the environment, but still allow the attorneys the ability to deliver optimal services to our clients. If I quarantine or lock down everything, I will lose the confidence and they'll break through any fence I put in place. I need to be able to secure at the most extreme levels, where it's simple and understood, and where the risk is unmanageable. I got to pick my battles. I then need to be a sentry where I need to be more open and flexible. I want to have open dialogue, don't preach to them, casually discuss, establish a relationship. I can also help by keeping my vendors away from my clients, which is the firm's users. I need to avoid firm users answering questions, giving out credentials, et cetera, to outsiders. The rest is just ongoing education to communication.
Those are all some really great tips for our listeners. Is your firm getting pressure from clients to improve security standards?
In regards to audits and those types of requests, it's still the soft glove approach right now for us. It started as a slow trickle of questions. Now it's increasing in occurrence and numbers. We have started to ask questions ourselves. What are they trying to accomplish? Another mentor of mine always said it was worse to have a policy and not follow it than to have no policy at all. We have found that we need to walk towards GRC, not yet run, embrace frameworks like ITIL and PMBOK with projects in order to start facing the right direction, position ourselves to face and move towards ISO. Today, the pressure is light, soon there will be requirements, and I just need to make sure I'm positioned correctly for that. To be honest, while developing and following these processes, we have found we shoot ourselves in the foot less often. So these policies and procedures are good for us. We're more consistent in our approach. We look at the larger environment. In regards to other pressures clients are placing on us, is the ability to respond, to be more efficient, to bill less, provide more. This pressure causes us to just bring in technology, bring your own device, bring your own technology, cloud computing, things like that. I think we need to draw back and keep in mind that all changes equate to some level of pain. Technology cannot be changed without changing people and processes. These pressures challenge standards.
Excellent. And who do you think should drive security in a law firm?
The partners. My belief is IT should supply the a la carte menu of solutions a firm can use to reach objectives. IT should still be about protecting client confidences and support the firm's business. But the partners have to be the drivers of this change.
Great. And is ISO 27001 or a similar certification the solution for a law firm or a legal department?
I think building the framework to become certified in ISO is what I value. It is the result of putting new standards in place. I believe that law firms will be asked these questions more often, but I'm also a believer that meeting various requirements is the most important thing. Certification is about proving it to others. The certification is something that the marketing folks may be most interested in with RFPs. I'm more about complying with the process to build a better support system for the firm and its business.
And what technologies are you currently exploring to deal with security issues?
We're still discovering just more methods of monitoring. Like I said previously, performing audits are good for that moment in time, and to be honest, it is difficult to find a good auditor that doesn't have something else to sell. I need to provide ongoing education, open dialogue, and monitoring to keep us on the path. We've been putting in time and energy in managed services, project management, ITIL, and looking at various tools like LockPath. Our philosophy is to monitor, manage, and measure.
Great. And Brian, I think you touched on this with a couple of your answers, but why should lawyers, partners, and firm management care about investing in firm security?
I think it's simple. It's what our clients want. It's what our clients need. Why else are we here?
Short and simple, it certainly makes sense. My final question for you is regarding ILTA's new LegalSec initiative. How will that LegalSec initiative help law firms and legal departments?
I think getting started is the most difficult task for most firms. It's about the first step. What path can you afford to invest in both time and money? How do you get the engine started? How do we steer away from roadblocks or avoid the hype? How can I get the team to feel it's not a waste of their time? We have engineers who are always overloaded. The more paperwork I put on them, the more process I put in front of them, they feel they're not getting their job done. And how do I get them to see a different way? This group will be successful, I think, to help build on the same objectives that ILTA has always been, peer managed, peer grown. It's people like me in the same spot I'm in or a couple steps ahead or behind me walking on the same path. We're going to take this on. We're ready to discuss it, share it, initiate it, and adopt it.
That brings us to the end of our time together. I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. And Brian, we appreciate you sharing your time and insight.
Thank you very much for inviting me.